Gracias. Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. Pardon me, I had a little quavery voice there for some reason. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, July 16th, 2024. July is half over and it's been really, really hot here. So I hope it just keeps moving. It, when I was a kid, it always seemed to me like August was the hottest month of the year, but anymore it's July. And August, somewhere in August, I get that little snap of fall is coming. You know, you get that little, the air changes at some point in August, which is interesting. And I just remember August being so sweltering when I was a little kid, you know, when we were still home on school break. But anyway, I'll be glad. We're getting back into the 80s this week, so it feels so, so much better. But CA was just saying that's 120, was 120 in Vegas last week, and so I have nothing to complain about. But anyway, I just, just thinking about the year more than half over now, it dawned on me that I've had like one house-related project after another since the beginning of the year. I mean, there's just been stuff to do and get done, and it feels so good. I mean, everything that's gotten done needed to be done, and so I think I'm finally finished with the big stuff. I have a couple of walls I'd like to paint, but that's a good winter project, not a summer project. But with the house projects finished, I've started working on a series of classes for 1-2 Academy, which is something I've wanted to do for a while, but really for the past few years just wasn't able to do because I like to do series of classes. So, you know, being able to set aside a number of weeks, a certain day on a number of weeks, just wasn't possible because just everything that was going on was unpredictable over the past few years. So now, like I said, with the house projects done, I've got space in my space to focus on classes. And right now, I feel that they will begin on September 19th. If not the 19th, it will be in September. And I'm really excited about them. And they're called You Empowered. That's the name of the whole series. The first four classes will be the basic meditation from the Empowered Intuitive Course, the basic meditation that I've taught forever, that I learned at ICI that was part of the Berkeley Psychic Institute program, because it is a foundation. And that class, that first series, will be the prerequisite for all other classes. And the meditation will be a starting point of every class. So, I wanted to do something different. So, not something different. I wanted to be more diverse. So, after the first series, the classes will be divided into two categories. One will be You Empowered through the use of energetic tools and methods. And the second one is You Empowered through understanding your oneness with Source, spiritual principles from a broad range of teachers and philosophies. So, I'm really, really excited. It just lights me up to think about it. So I know it's the timing is right, and the classes will be good, because you know it. Both series are really, they're You Empowered. I mean, that's it. That's the purpose, to empower you. You know, because the bottom line is you're it. You are it. Your happiness and success are your responsibility. No one else's. And accepting, when you accept that responsibility, that is you empowered. Stuart Wilde would say, when you accept responsibility for your life, it is like a door swings open and you are available for your good, your life, your experience, when you take responsibility for it. And so, you know, that responsibility, as I said, when you take that responsibility, is empowering. And so I will teach you energetic tools and spiritual principles to master your space. I mean, what it's all about. Okay, this is my responsibility. How do I change it? That's what I want to teach. That's what I do, because that's my purpose and passion. And we'll have a good time. We'll have an expansive, good time. So I just wanted to make the announcement today to just kind of put it out there, ground it, so to speak, out there. And I'll talk more about it next week, and they will be up on 1-2 Academy by then. I just have to make sure that I just got to look again at calendar and dates and stuff. But as I said, I'm really excited about them. And meanwhile, back at the ranch here called Empowerment, I'm happy to have C.A. Brooks with me today for our July 2024 Meeting of the Minds. As you know, if you come to these shows, we always have a great discussion, and you're invited to be part of it. So please join us in the chat room. Go to 12radio.com and click chat. Please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat room. We may or may not have time for readings, so you know, we just go with the flow of conversation and how show goes. It has a life of its own once we get started. But if you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. This Sunday is not only Psychic Sunday, but it's the full moon as well. So I'll have a full moon 15-minute time-based session at a reduced rate for the day. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And always to remind you about the gratitude board on 12listen.com, post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or something that you're working on. And the advisors at 12listen monitor that board 24/7. So we add our attention and intention to yours, and that is powerful. It's a way for us to support you. You can post anonymously. So really, there's no reason not to. And I just want to say thanks again for being here today. Thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio. 12radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So again, I just encourage you to take advantage, which is why I remind you of these things every week. But please do take advantage. Why not? Why not? And I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing the show today and for everything that he does for us on 12radio, and that's a lot. So thanks, Jay. And boy, I am like really speed talking. I'm like out of breath. I'm talking so fast. Maybe it's because I'm just not breathing. But as you know, I'm always really on the show with me today, on the show with me every month, on the show today and whenever she can come by. She is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, an animal communicator, an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment, live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And, you know, she's very, very busy, and I appreciate her doing this show with me once a month. I look forward to it every month. And I will have her join me in just a couple of minutes after I set up sort of the starting point of our discussion. And I say sort of because I just have a story to tell that brought some really brought some realizations to me. That's the best way I can say it. So, you know, my mom passed away at the end of November. And we have a family reunion every summer around the 1st of July, which was my grandmother's birthday, in Buena Vista, which is a mountain town in Colorado. And we had that a couple of weeks ago. And this year, since the reunion was so important to my mom, I mean, she really just kept those things going, and they were her baby. We decided that that would be the perfect time to have a memorial for her and to scatter her ashes. So, Jared, Kristen, and Quinn, my son, daughter-in-law, and my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, came in from Illinois for the reunion and the memorial. And it was just lovely. You know, it was really, really lovely. We do it on my cousin's property because she's got a big outside area and all of us can fit. And I think there's probably now about 30 people. And it almost feels like the majority of them are little bitty kids because my cousins now have grandchildren. So everybody came this year, everybody except for a couple of cousins. And that was phenomenal. You know, just really phenomenal. They live out of state. But even, you know, a couple that do live out of state came into town. So it was really, really great. And the story that I want to tell really is about my mom's cabin. She has a little cabin up on my uncle's ranch, which is where my cousin's house is. There's a lot of people that live on that ranch because it's many, many acres. So her little cabin, she has just a little one bedroom cabin up there, and it's on an acre of land. It's real special. I mean, I learned more and more about this cabin the last time I was there, probably more than I'd ever known in my life. And she built that cabin in the 70s, so, or had the cabin built, I should say. It's on my uncle's ranch, as I said, on an acre of land that my uncle had given to my grandparents in about 1970 to build their retirement home. Well, my grandfather died just a couple of years later, so it was given to my mom in 1973. And she had this little one room cabin built on it when my brother and I were teenagers. Over the years, she would go to the cabin a few times in the summer. I mean, you can't really go in the winter because it's off-roading. I mean, it's through trees to get, you know, driving through pine trees to get to it. And it's just kind of on an odd little, well, the land around it is pretty rough. Let me just put it that way. It really is a cabin. It's a mountain cabin. And it's a mountain cabin. That's all I can say. So you got to be able to drive up to it, which is kind of hard to do in a car. But she'd go a few times in the summer, and she, as soon as Jared was old enough, he went with her, and they would just head off on the road to the cabin, and he was happy as a little clam, and so was she. You know, they had a great agreement. They would, when my grandmother was still alive, they would take her and drop her at my aunt's house until she moved up there onto the ranch in the 90s. So, you know, it was really this little cabin and just the area around it were really my mom and Jared's special place. And he absolutely loves it to this day. I mean, it still is. When he was in high school and even in college, he and his buddies would go up there and play paintball and, you know, stay for friends and probably spent more time there than anyone else. But in 2000, she added my brother and I to the title of the cabin. And per her will, Jared was added when she passed. And I'm not sure if that's been actually done yet or not, but it will be. So there will be three of us again in title. So, you know, when they'd go up there and my gram lived up there, I would go up with mom and Jared or just with mom when she went. But I didn't stay at the cabin. I stayed with my grandmother in her house. So, you know, really and truly, since the cabin was built, I didn't stay there very many times. I've been there, but to actually stay, it wasn't very many times over the years. And, you know, it was okay, but the bathroom at my gram's house was much better, and I had a bedroom there when I wanted to stay with her. And really, the bottom line to that was my time with her was precious to me. And Jared's time with my mom was precious to him. So we both, you know, we both, what do I want to say? We both benefited from the times in Buena Vista. But the cabin, honestly, was never anything I thought much about. Well, the reunion was great. It was what it's always been: pizza, salad, a birthday cake for my gram. And because we've always had it close to her birthday, my aunt gets her a birthday cake. And so it was nice. It was actually it was kind of funny because my cousin's son went to get the pizzas, and when he got to the pizza place, everybody that worked at the pizza place walked out. Not because of him, they just walked out. I guess they went on strike the minute he got to the door. So it was this big deal, and my cousin Larry, who was hosting it, was like, "Okay, we're gonna go to the store. We're gonna get frozen pizzas. We've got ovens. We can do this. And we're gonna go to someplace else and get pizza from a different place." And it was like, whatever. Everybody's outside. The little kids are playing. We're all talking. It didn't matter. But it was just kind of funny, that something like that would happen at this particular, reunion, right? But now, as I said, it's just full of babies. My cousin's grandbabies, and they're all really little and fun, and it's just a lively energy, with four generations of my family. It's priceless. It's just really, really cool. Well, after we ate, I thanked everyone for being there and told a story, a fun story about my mom and Jared, and turned it over to my brother, who delivered a really beautiful eulogy. Then everyone who wanted to was invited to come to the cabin to spread her ashes. And when we got there, they handed them to me, which was kind of unexpected, but fine, And my uncle said to me, he said, "Just walk around the cabin and spread them there." And then the plan was to go up, to walk up a hill that's outside of the cabin, in back of the cabin, I should say, to spread her remaining ashes at her dog Zeke's grave. Now, Zeke was the first dog my brother and I ever had in our lives. And of course, he lived with my mom, but he was a little terrier lost. He was good dog. He lived a long time because he ended up being Jared's first dog too. So I'm not sure how old Jared was, but I mean, we were teenagers. I was in junior high school when she got Zeke. And then Jared, I don't know how old he was. He was probably, well, he was old enough to go to the cabin, so he must have been maybe 7, 8 years old, through the first part of his life. Zeke was just his first dog too, and he loved him. And just absolutely appropriately, Zeke died on one of their visits to the cabin. I mean, it was just perfect. It was just perfect. So they buried him on that hill, and so it was very fitting. We all agreed that part of Mom's ashes were spread there, around on Zeke's grave. And her last dog, Ollie, who died right after she did, we took his, well, actually, my niece and her husband brought his ashes up there too. So they're all there, her first and last dog and her. And it all felt really complete, powerful, really powerful, interesting, just feeling all of that as it was occurring and being part of it. But the most interesting thing that happened was while I was spreading her ashes at the cabin before we went up the hill, I went around to the back of it where people couldn't see me. They were standing out in front. And when I got there, when I got to the back of the cabin, it was like this wave of energy just kind of flowed around me and through me. And it just hit me all of a sudden how important that cabin had been to my mom. And I really, it was just profound. And at that moment, it just all of a sudden became important to me too, and it never had been before. but it became relevant, maybe is a better word. I don't know. It became something to me that it never had been before. You know, it was the cabin. I rarely gave it a thought. An unmistakable shift in my energy. Well, a couple of years ago, my cousin's son and his wife and two very young children, two babies, were having a rough time of it. And so my cousin asked my mom if they could stay at the cabin for a while. They paid for utilities and his son did a lot of work on the cabin, which it really needed, to pay for them living there. So it was a trade in a way. They paid utilities and he did the work that needed to be done. So mom agreed to that, and they had a good agreement. You know, they had a good agreement. They took very good care of the cabin. They appreciated being there. And it was wonderful because it wasn't being used. You know, it wasn't serving its purpose. So that was a lovely thing. That was a win-win-win, you know, all the way around. Well, when I walked into it, it looked a million times better than I remembered it, because it was, and it was absolutely lovely. It was sweet. It had a sweet spirit to it. He installed new flooring, built a massive retaining wall, among other things, and as I said, they took really, really good care of it. So it felt loved. You know, it really did. It felt loved. So, you know, mom, of course, but he did a fantastic job. And after they didn't come up to have when the ashes were being spread, but after everybody else pretty much left, they came over. And he told me more than once how much my mom helped them by letting them live there. And it was just, you know, just kind of one thing after another being up there. You know, this little cabin served a wonderful purpose for a lot of people over the years. You know, no wonder my mom was right there behind the cabin with me and just impressed its importance on me as I was scattering her ashes. Jared, Kristen, Quinn, and I, and Gracie, I took Gracie with us, spent the night there. And we walked around the hills in the morning before we headed back to Denver. And it was very, very special. Very special. And it really brought home to me. I've thought a lot about it because, you know, it sounds like it's like an unimportant event. I mean, not that. It doesn't, it's just the cabin, you know, and the importance of the cabin that seems so strange. So I've thought a lot about it. And it really brought home to me that every person, everything, and every experience that shows up in our lives you know, has a purpose for being there, or they wouldn't show up. Everything. There are no mistakes. It's a no mistakes universe. Everything that shows up for us is for us. Sometimes we just can't understand what that purpose is, but if it's in our experience, it's for our growth and our ultimate good if we use it. Neville said, every person that comes into our lives comes to show us who we are. And I think that goes for everything else that comes into our lives too. I think it's all feedback. I really do. And on that note, I just want to welcome CA. And I don't know, CA, if you've got anything to add to that, but we can go wherever you want with our conversation. Thanks for being here.
Hey, you're welcome. I always enjoy being here and I love your stories. And
Thank you.
I can literally, it's kind of funny, you know, I'm a very visual person, but I can literally just see that cabin because I know Buena Vista. I mean, not, I don't know it well, but you know, my sister lived about an hour from there.
Oh, okay. I didn't
And
realize that.
well,
Okay.
she had a property in Westcliff. Do you know where Westcliff is?
I know the name, but I don't know the location.
Well, it's directly south, I think, of Buena Vista.
Oh, okay.
And it's the kind of place, I mean, it's literally so small, there, I don't think, is even a traffic light on the main street. There's two stop
Oh.
signs, but there's no traffic signal. It's all ranches, you know, that area.
Mm-hmm.
And but I went through Buena Vista, or I should say close to it several times when I drive from Denver. That's the long way. Actually, you know, it's easier to just go directly south and then go to Westcliff. But I used to go up there quite a bit when my sister lived there, and it's a 3-hour drive. And so, but if you go up west on Hamden and get close to Buena Vista, which, oh my God, what a beautiful drive. Sometimes I did that simply because it was so gorgeous, but it added 30 to 60 minutes onto my drive to Westcliff. But in any case, sometimes I did go that way because it was just like, oh my God, this is so gorgeous. So
Oh, cool.
it's
Well, I'm
like I
glad
could
you can
picture
relate.
exactly. Yeah, I could really picture it. And you know, and that's funny. You know, in fact, I was saying something on my show that I thought kind of related, where, you know, and it probably sounded a little bit strange to people because I was saying I had done a session with somebody doing some cards in astrology, and afterwards I'm like, oh my God, I just love that. I'm so jazzed up, you know, and it's like, it almost sounded like I never do it when the truth is I do it every day. But I
But there
think
are
what it
special ones, I
was is,
know.
yeah, just like the cabin, you're going, oh. It's the cabin, and all of a sudden it takes on a new meaning. And I think what happened in that session somehow, and I was relating this to the astrology and to the upcoming full moon on Sunday in Capricorn, because Capricorn is about our work. It's about our productivity. It's about recognizing what we're good at and why we put it out there, our purpose, our purpose. And I think that's what happened is, you know, sometimes I get lost. I put it in terms of I got lost in all the minutiae of everything that I have to do, all the things on my to-do list that if I had my druthers, they wouldn't be there. You know? I mean, it's like, is that your purpose? Is that your purpose? It doesn't quite feel like it. But of course it is on one level or another. But what happened is all of a sudden, when I'm doing the work that I love and the work that just feels like so me, all of a sudden it was just this, that's it. It was an energy that just kind of washed over me. And I thought, I love this. This, I feel good. This is, you know, this is somehow where I belong. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I can drop all those other responsibilities. In fact, that's very Capricornian too. But I'm relating it to all of a sudden you're seeing the cabin through a fresh pair of eyes,
Completely.
through a fresh experience. And that's almost what that session was for me. I just went, oh my God, I so love this. This, you know, that's how it felt like. I'm in the right place at the right time. Now, I don't know if the client would feel that. Hopefully, she did. But it was more me just realizing, you know what? This is what you do. This is what you do. And it resonates with you when you put yourself in service to do this. And so at any moment in our lives, all of a sudden, it is like, you know, stop and smell the flowers or whatever. We see something fresh that we see it every day of our lives, or we interact with that person every day of our lives, or that puppy. I mean, you know, in fact, I'd say I kind of had that with Tucker last week too. Something went on, and I'm just like, you know, I told him, I said, I am so happy you're here. You know, I am just so happy you're here. You know, you are such a blessing in my life. You are just such a good boy. Because sometimes I get wrapped up into, you know, and I will admit, because you know, and I've talked about this, the coyotes are kind of, I love the coyotes, I think they're gorgeous, but they're a constant threat in my mind. You know, every time I open the door and let him out, it's scanning the walls for the coyotes, making sure they're not in the yard. And so sometimes, you know, even with him, it's like, really? You want to go outside? Okay, let me get my. You know, I don't carry a whistle, although I probably should, but at night I always have a flashlight. And so it's like I'm prepared, you know, because a few times I have made mistakes. Like one time I stepped out without my shoes. Big mistake. The coyotes were there. And I had to run across the rock yard barefoot. Yeah. It's like I won't forget the shoes again. That will not happen. Right? But once again, you know, you kind of get into this, okay. You get into a routine. Okay, here's your food, you know, and I always cook his food, make his food fresh, you know, chop his carrots and his vegetables and everything. And so you can get into this routine of like, okay, this is how it is. And just not stop and smell the roses and go, oh my God, what a blessing you are to me. You know, and just see it fresh, just see it with new eyes. And so I'm so happy for you with that, you know, just that feeling. And just that's it. You know, your mother will all, and your grandma and all your family, all those memories tied up with the land, tied up with the cabin.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like really, really wonderful and special.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I was thinking about the cabin after Mom passed, you know, knowing that it belonged to my brother and I, as well as her, and thinking, well, what am I going to do with it? Just never went there. It just really, truly would enter my thought when she'd mention it. And that was about the extent of it. And then when we went, it's like, okay, there's no question. This is part of our lives, part of my life. And so, you know, Jared's excited to take his little kids up there, my grandchildren up there. So, you know, maybe it's kind of a rebirth, you know, for the cabin. It's been gotten sort of a facelift, and it's just so much. It was such a sweet little space, and I never remember it being that.
Right.
Ever. but it really is. So I'm excited to see what, you know, how it unfolds and what we do. And my brother says, oh yeah, he goes, you know, Sam and Molly and his kids and his little two little grandkids, but you know, I don't know if they'll use it or not, and it doesn't matter. Matter. I know Jared will, because he's just,
yeah, which is wonderful.
Really important to him. Really, really important. So yeah, but it was just such an interesting experience. Really interesting experience.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and you know, I was going to say, you know, kind of going along those same lines, I'm thinking, like yesterday, you know, there again, and you know, the heat, it's the coyotes in the heat right now too. You know, you really have to go out the yard, but anyway, we're out in the yard, and he's sitting there, you know, kind of panting, but he's laying there on the brick and just looking around. He just loves to look around. And all of a sudden, this hummingbird comes up to him and just like flutters, just sits there right in front of his face. And he's just looking at it, you know, and then it flies away. And then there's a little gecko, you know, and he's chasing the gecko. And then I see this little bunny rabbit under the shrub, and I'm going, oh, I hope he doesn't see the bunny rabbit, you know. And then there was a raven or something. And so there was a part of me going, see, you would have missed all this, you know, just open your eyes. It's like nature just unfolding and just happening in front of you. And, you know, just be at peace where you are in the moment. Just be at peace, you know. So anyway, wonderful story. Thank you for kind of eliciting that and putting that out there.
You bet. Well, you know, it's interesting because, and I put this in my article to the Power Peak, all of a sudden last week, out of the blue, I hear, you know, the mental equivalent, Emmett Fox.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
love it.
And so I went, I found it on YouTube because I was thinking about something else that I just read, and not on YouTube, on Google, and it's a Unity. A Unity newsletter or something. Anyway, the first sentence of what he wrote, it's not like the whole book, it was just a page. And he said, whatever enters into your life is but the material expression of some belief in your own mind. The kind of body you have, the kind of home you have, the kind of work you do, the kind of people you meet are all conditioned by and correspond to the mental concepts you're holding. He said, about 20 years ago, I coined the phrase mental equivalent, and now I want to say that for anything you want in your life, a healthy body, a satisfactory vocation, friends, opportunities, and above all, the understanding of God, you must furnish a mental equivalent. Mm-hmm. Supply yourself with a mental equivalent, and the thing must come to you. Without a mental equivalent, it cannot come. Now, as to the things in your life you'd like to be rid of, and everyone has such things in his life, perhaps bodily difficulties or faults of character are the most important. We all have habits of thought and action, and we all have business, family, and personal conditions we would like to be rid of. If we rid our mind of the mental equivalent of them, they must go. The secret to successful living is to build up the mental equivalent that you want and to get rid of, to expunge, the mental equivalent that you do not want. And I just, it's like, okay, so what do you expect, right? What do we expect? Like when we go to the store, or I mean, like day-to-day stuff, what are we expecting? Change those expectations. I mean, it's just, it's really cool. I mean, it's really been on my mind, and I've kind of revisited it. And I know what it is. I mean, it's different words for the same concept, you know, that which is like unto itself is drawn. So, you know, what you want, what you focus on is what you're going to bring in. And what is, and like he said, whatever is in your life, it's because you hold a belief. It couldn't be there without it.
That's
so
right.
I don't know. That was cool. And when that came into my head, I thought about you, because I know you've are impressed with the mental equivalent.
Oh yes. In fact, you know, Tim used to sell them, I think. Didn't he sell them at the bookstore?
Oh, probably.
Because I used to just like buy them by the dozens to give out to people. But, yeah. You know, they are tiny, tiny books. And
there are a couple
they're like, lectures. They're not even 3x5, are they?
I don't know. I don't think I ever saw the book. I just know that there are a couple of lectures of his. That's all
They're almost more like little pamphlets, because they're only like, let's say like they're 3x3.
Okay.
And they are maybe 50 pages, but it's a thin, thin little book. In fact, when I know I still have a few on my bookshelf, but they can kind of get lost in between the books because they're so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very impressed with them. And I love it because he's so matter of fact about, you know, if you're going to build a bridge, you have to have an architectural blueprint. Mm-hmm. You don't just go, okay, bridge, be there. You know, it's, and so he talks about that we build that architectural blueprint, which is the mental equivalent. But I do think, and I feel kind of compelled to introduce this too.
Good.
That I think the issue or the problem so often with most of us is we say, oh, I want sunflowers in this garden, you know, or this is what I want. And so we work really hard at that mental equivalent, but we're not taking into consideration what's already there. And unfortunately, if we're not ever willing to do any soul searching at all,
right,
or just paying attention, like if we literally said everything that's showing up in my life is because there's a mental equivalent, we do that with everything, positive and negative.
Correct.
And going back to the garden, if there are weed seeds in the garden and you don't get them out, they are going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where people miss the boat sometimes with affirmations or positive thinking, is they don't take in the collective that if you're part of mass consciousness, and mass consciousness tells you life isn't safe, you could catch this, you could, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and you just go negative, negative, negate, that is not enough.
No,
you know, those weeds are going to grow just like your affirmations, and those weeds, those negative thoughts or those things that you don't want, they're going to continue to grow and blossom in the same way that gravity, it might even be in the mental equivalent, I don't remember, gravity is going to hold a refrigerator to the ground in the same way it's going to hold you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't care. It doesn't care if you're a super person and so, oh, you're not going to fall if you, you know, fall off a building, you know, or a refrigerator. It's like, it doesn't care. It's a collective.
It's a force. Mm-hmm.
It's a collective thought that we all believe.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if we didn't believe it, gravity wouldn't exist.
Right.
But if we don't take into account that we are buying into a collective consciousness, you know, we're not living in a little bubble. If we don't take that into account or understand that you don't just pile in the same way, you know, like I say, if you're making a cake, this is one of my favorite examples. You're making a cake, you're making cookies, and you forget to put something, an ingredient in. You don't take them out of the oven and then sprinkle baking powder on top of them. It's not going to work.
Right.
You've got to go back to the basic mix. And that's the thing. So when we see things coming up in our lives and we go, yeah, I just, you know, or I even heard somebody say this recently, like, when am I going to start making good decisions, or how come this keeps happening over and over? Well, because there's a mental equivalent, and you don't judge yourself, mm-hmm. but you also don't put the baking powder on top of the cookie. You don't just right. keep covering it over with, I'm going to create a mental equivalent of success, when you've got these 10 things sitting in your mind mm-hmm. about, you know, that are negative things. Like, even, what is that book?
Limitation.
Something about the millionaire mind, or one of those books. It's a positive thinking book on, mm-hmm. on money. And he makes this big point about, here are all these things that oftentimes people think about rich people. They're snobby. They don't care. They're self-centered. They're selfish. If you believe those things, what are your chance of getting rich?
Exactly.
You know, it's like, but we could go, oh, no, I don't believe those. But, you know, question yourself once again. If you find yourself making decisions over and over and over and getting the same results, then just question.
What's at the bottom?
What's at the bottom? Because, yes, the mental equivalent works perfectly in this material universe. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual law in a material universe. But once again, very few people are going to be able to defy gravity or to walk through walls, because there's right. so much mass consciousness that we believe it's not possible.
Right.
And so don't kid yourself into, you know, in fact, in Ken Wapnick in A Course in Miracles calls it being a bliss ninny. You know, it's like, okay, everything's perfect. I'm in the perfect place at the perfect time and nothing ever goes wrong for me. I mean, you know, it's like, being a bliss ninny instead of going, yeah, every time I lose my temper with that person, boy, I feel lousy. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking that's what's going to give me, you know, I'm going to feel really good. I'm going to give it to them. Yeah. And then I feel bad. Well, right. okay, then look at that. Just right. look at it. So, yeah, the mental equivalent is a really wonderful little book. And as Kelly said, it sounds like you can find it on the internet, because I'm not sure you can it in print anymore.
You can. You can. From Amazon,
Emmett
actually.
Fox. Yeah, Emmett Fox. It's a wonderful little book.
Yeah.
And here again, I haven't read the whole thing in a while, so I don't remember how much he goes into it. But he does talk about, so this isn't original ideas with me. I mean, he talks about it. Like, for instance, somebody might say, well, I didn't know that there was smallpox in this town, so how can I possibly catch it? Mm-hmm. The truth is, if you believe in smallpox, you believe it's contagious, you believe it's on the planet somewhere, well, then you're likely to catch it if you go somewhere where they have it, even if you don't know that it's there.
Yeah.
And so he talks about, you know, trying to get there again, getting to the bottom a little bit more of belief systems. It's not good enough to just say, I don't believe it. If you truly don't believe it, then it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the bottom line. If you truly didn't buy into it, it would not have happened, because right. you wouldn't have allowed it into your conscious experience.
It couldn't. Yeah.
Or unconscious experience. Yeah. It can't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, bliss ninnies. I won't forget that. That's very
it's
fun.
It's good, isn't it?
It is good, because it's like, okay, if you say this over and over and over, if I affirm this, but it's like, you don't. What you are changing when you want to change something in your life is you are changing your consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that means, because we can only live what we believe, we can right. only experience what we have the consciousness for, and that's our work. So if this comes up and this doesn't feel great, or if you it's a behavior that you keep repeating, believe that's at the bottom. You can sit in meditations, and sometimes it takes more than one, but really follow the breadcrumbs to what's at the bottom of this. And when you find it out, when you find out what that belief is, it disappears, because you're looking it in the eye. You know, you are going on the, you are being proactive, not reactive. You're being proactive. It's like, okay, what is this? I've had enough of it. What is it? But you have to take, that's responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, that's taking responsibility for what's happening, not just for what you want to have happen. that through affirming or whatever it is, but for what is sitting in your lap. Stuart Wilde said, whatever's sitting in your lap, you brought it there and you've made a nice cozy home for it.
Yeah.
And only you can get rid of it. Only you can change that.
And
so,
here's the magic of it, because I, you know, I can almost feel it. It's like I'm sitting here going, oh my God, work. You know, you got to work at this. And, you know, our audience too going, oh, you know, it's not that easy. There's no magic. Well, in some ways there is magic. The magic is we don't always have to, like I'm talking about weeding out all those weeds, right? Well, we don't have to actually know where every single one is. We don't have to go to therapy for 25 years and address every single issue, you know? You know, kind of the monk thing, I'm allergic to 20 things or 100 things or whatever. The magic is in simply saying, I don't like this. This isn't working for me anymore. I am willing to see what I need to see in order for this to change. That is the magic. The willingness, just that little bit of willingness to say, you know what? This isn't working, and I think there's something else that'll work better. I'm open to finding out what it is. And I swear by that. I mean, I truly do. It's A Course in Miracles, but it's also so many other belief systems. It's not about sequentially rooting out every single weed seed. It's acknowledging, this isn't working for me. You know, on the minute, it's like you recognize, it's not just that I'm unhappy, but that behavior just isn't working. And I'm open to finding out about a behavior that will, or I am open to seeing whatever I need to see in this moment to make this work.
Yeah. Or I don't know how to do this better.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. That's surrender. And that to me, man, that's when things happen. When I say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. And then bang, you step out of the way. And thing and the wisdom that is ever present shows it to you, shows you something, you know, new breadcrumbs that you can follow and get stronger. But it takes action, you know, action on our part. Action always precedes demonstration. We have to do something.
Yes.
And you can't just sit and affirm and have things change, because we're far more complicated than that.
But the action is quite simple. That's the irony. The action is quite simple. Saying in those magic words, I don't know. I don't know. So I'm open to finding out. That's all it is. And in some ways, I think you don't even have to go on some huge search. It will find you. That's it. That's the mental equivalent. I am open to finding out. And it comes to you.
Yes.
That's the magic. That's the easiness. That's the simplicity of all of this.
Yes.
You know, is just open your eyes and say, this isn't working. There's got to be another way. And I'm willing to accept that. You know, like you say, get out of the way. I mean, the problem most of the time is that we think we've got the control and the ability to fix it. And we're blinded. I mean, that's it. We're blinded by all the things that we're denying and won't look at.
Right. Right.
And, you know, but if you just go, yeah, I'm willing to look at this differently. I don't know. And I'm willing to look at it differently. Magic happens.
Exactly. It really, truly does. And I've experienced that for the past year. Like almost on a daily basis. It's like, okay, I could get all stressed out over this, but I don't know what to do about it.
Well, and I realize we're getting to the end of the show, but it's the same thing that everybody experiences. You're trying to remember a name, or you're trying to remember where you put something. All you have to do is turn your mind to something else.
Detach.
You know, listen to some music or do something else, and all of a sudden you go, bingo, I remember. So, you know, it's like it's in the file. And so if you quit exerting so hard, just let it come up, and it will.
Well, when you're attached to something, you're pushing against it, right? When you're struggling, you're pushing against, and you're always going to be pushed back against. That's energy. That's how it works. But when you detach, it just creates a space for the answer to come in, which was there all along. and that's it. It's non-resistance. Just stop resisting. The fact that you don't know, or you can't find something, or you can't remember something, just stop. Yeah. Stop. Let it go. I don't know. And here it is. You know,
yep.
It's just, it's wonderful.
It'll but, come to you.
Yeah. Well, we're in the last couple of minutes. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. What do you have going on?
A lot of stuff going on, but I am pretty flexible in my schedule. And so I have a lot of appointments and some personal things I need to take care of, especially the rest of the day. My brother is having a procedure, so I'm going to go to the hospital this afternoon. But in any case, I am generally available most days. You know, other than on Tuesday mornings, and Saturday is usually pretty booked up too, but I'm available and want to listen. Please just request a scheduled call at a time that's good for you, or put in a callback request. And if I'm available, I'll be there for you.
Great. Great. Well, everyone, you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. My special guest was C.A. Brooks. We are here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world. So I appreciate you listening today. I wish you a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.